Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I'm one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana. And with me, as always, each and every week, it never fails. He's bringing that awesome sauce. He's got them magic fingers. He's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
Dude, I think pigeons have a death wish.
Oh.
Several times today, I've seen cars almost back up into pigeons, and they don't want to move out the way.
They've gotten a lot
You have wings.
Very ballsy.
Mm-hmm. It's like you're going to die.
Utilize the
wings. Do you want to die?
Just utilize the wings. You got them. Just use them.
Just observations that I'm making on a daily basis.
Small observations. Mm-hmm. Nothing crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a busy show.
It is. It's been a busy couple days.
Yeah, this is going to be a big one.
Things happened lately.
Hopefully we can get through it pretty quickly. But this, if you're new here, is the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is a show where Andy and I, we bring on some news, gaming news topics, and we discuss them, we argue about them, we have a good open discussion about everything about video games, including video games past, present, and future. It posts each and every Monday. Actually, it's been going up on Tuesdays just because of how late we record Mondays, but typically it goes up on Mondays on your favorite podcast service of choice, including Podbean, which is our home. And of course, it posts as a video on demand the following day on youtube.com/dualscreens TV. And of course, we record this live on Sunday or Monday nights on twitch.tv/dualscreensstream. So please give us a follow over there. Give us a sub on YouTube. We would appreciate it greatly. We love to have you in our audience here.
Also,
in our chat.
Steven.
Yes.
Announcement mm-hmm. time. We're also now on Pandora.
Oh, Pandora.
And we're on Deezer.
Oh, thank
Which
God for
is
that.
Weezer, but with a D, in case okay. you're wondering. We are now
thank
on the Deezer.
That.
So the success will follow.
Thank goodness. Well, then. Wow.
We're on the Deezer.
Don't forget, you could also check out our flagship show, the Dual Screens Podcast. That is an interview show where we bring on an industry guest to tell us their story about their games. It could be a artist, a game designer, a director, a solo dev, a husband and wife team. Whoever, voice actor, whoever it is, they all have a story to tell, and we want to be their platform to do it. So, again, it's the same channel. You don't have to subscribe anywhere else. Just give us a follow on Twitch. Actually, we don't do that show live on Twitch, but give us a sub on YouTube or just subscribe to us on your favorite podcast service of choice, and you will get that at each and every Thursday. And we are going to be starting. We are abandoning Dual Screens Versus. It was fun while it lasted. Unfortunately, we could not get another guest. So we are moving on to Casting Couch. Instead of doing 6 shows like we know what we were planning, we are going to do 10 for your amusement. And of course, that show is all about us casting video game movies, and it's a lot of fun. We also come up with the story for the game, for the movie, and of course that is going to post on Fridays for your listening pleasure on the same channel. All right, Andy.
Oh boy,
it's time for everybody's favorite segment.
Here we go.
It is the adventures in gaming. Andy, what have you been playing?
I played a little game called Battletoads. And I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit of a travesty.
Oh, okay. Why are you still playing it then?
So, well, it didn't take long to finish, so there's that.
it's a very short
game. There's 2 games I'm playing. So let's do the shitty one first. So Battletoads, from the get-go, I'll admit, a little bit of a bias because I wasn't on board with the art style. I wasn't really digging it when I first saw it. Right. But you know what? Over time, I thought, you know what? If the gameplay can follow through and be fun and dynamic, the art style can be somewhat ignored. Not completely, but I can let it go. Like, is it really a big of a deal? It's just artwork. I get it.
Right.
It's going to be fun and, it's edgy and funky. I understand. Oh, boy, was I wrong, dude. This game, I feel it is so generic, so uninspired. Whoever wrote this thing needs to be smacked in the face several times over. The voice acting is, I don't know what that is. They probably pulled some staff from like the mailroom to do the voices for this thing. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like anyway. And my biggest gripe, and I'll go back to the artwork on this one point, is I missed the Dark Queen's makeover, if there was promotional art for her of what she looked like. Mm-hmm. I was just in trailers. I may have missed it. But when I saw her for the first time, I was beside myself with anger. Because we have taken, this is a gay man speaking, you have taken what was once a sexy, powerful dominatrix that was just exuding just like full on feminine energy.
Sure.
And like actually an intimidating force. And she looks like her 2-year old niece, conservative niece, cosplaying her. That's what it looks like an ultra right wing conservative version. She got no tits, nothing, there's no definition at all in her upper body area. It's like a Steven Universe reject, it looks like. And I'm like, how do you make it so bad? Why you look like that? So, and also I want to say the storyline is dumb. I feel like, okay, my Microsoft, I'm going to rant. Microsoft.
Here it is. Strap in, folks.
Microsoft, I love you. You do great things, but I would abandon all hope for don't do Perfect Dark. Don't do Conquer. Leave them all behind. I don't want them from you. Focus on new shit. Because when you do old shit, you fuck it up. This feels like Banjo Nuts and Bolts. Remember that game from like years ago? That third game when the Banjo went? That's horrible. Also yes. Travesty. This self-referential meta humor is the same exact shit in this game. It's not funny. It's not funny.
So I did not play it. What I've heard is that the actual gameplay is sort of what's the uninspired part. And most people feel like at least the art style, the tone, and that kind of has a Adult Swim feel to it.
Right.
Almost like sure. Sophomoric, but like
right.
kind of high budget kind of yeah. looking like cartoon.
It looks like Tumblr art, basically. It's okay. It's Tumblr art, which it's there's no heart and soul in that. It's just mimicking like again that Steven Universe kind of look. It's like, well, this just looks generic, like that the Thundercats show. It's like, okay, I get it, but it's so uninspired.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
What else are you playing?
A little Mortal Shell.
Yeah, me too, man.
Loving that shit.
Me too, man.
Oh my god, I love hardening up and like getting ready.
Like the hardening up is still something I'm not used to because
it's a tricky mechanic.
I'm so used to, so they make your parry a different button.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
From that, so it's like a little bit weird. Like I'm just used to like block being block. Like you just you press it and you deflect, but like you need to hold it to like keep your form. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely taking some getting used to, and I'm going through my stamina way too quickly because the blocking does take stamina, and then if you fuck up the block, you have to dodge because you have to dodge, and then again, you have no stamina, and then you're like, I can hit him, but no, I can't because I have no stamina. But what I'm loving about this game is so far is that, I mean, it does your quintessential Souls-like stuff where they drop you in a universe.
It pulls it off
and
so well.
They slowly kind of tell you what's going on through contextual things, not just like things you're picking up, but just like the voices you hear or the way that everything's kind of laid out. You know, when you get those visions where you could kind of see, you know, a certain path that'll take you somewhere and stuff like that. I just think it has a very cool, it's a little bit more blatantly Metroid to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you felt like that too. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it was way more, not necessarily linear, but there was a linear path to take outside of the many paths you can take to get to that linear path, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get you.
There's a gate that you have to go to,
right?
But then there's like five different. Like,
that's the only exit, but getting there is like you can go different routes to get there.
Right. But eventually you're going to go to all the routes anyway because you're going to want to explore and find.
Items,
I played for like an half an hour, possibly an hour, without picking up my shell because I had no idea that was a thing.
Right.
I was walking around as this little Voldemort looking dude.
Okay, what fucking Dark Souls teaches you? Like you always pick up what you leave behind. Like that's what these games are all about.
No, I never picked up the shell.
The actual armor shell.
The first armor I never picked up. I was going off.
Like
I was getting one
health,
hit.
Though. You have no health.
Yeah, I was getting one hit by everything. A frog killed me.
Like this is harder than Dark Souls. What's going on?
I didn't think it was hard. I didn't think it was hard. I just thought I was like, okay.
It's demanding.
I could have
ultra demanding.
I could have dodged that. I could have easily taken out this enemy.
So you just didn't. You made the game on the ultra hard mode, basically.
Which, by the way, you know you can do, right?
Yes, you did mention this to me, and then I saw. I was like, oh, that's really clever.
There is a little path that you can turn
really
off the whole shell.
Yeah. It's like, I like sanity, so nope, I will.
Yeah, I was like, I kind of want to see the shells.
I kind of want to enjoy this game a little bit, and the shells
maybe
are part
time.
Of the perk.
Maybe
yeah,
next time.
New game plus.
Maybe next time.
Yeah.
I'm loving the combat. I'm loving the enemies' design so far. So far, what I've seen is sort of generic. It's nothing like crazy. I like their behaviors.
It doesn't like redefine the Dark Souls like template, but for like an indie offshoot, it does it. And we've seen a lot of these kind of games before when Dark Souls rose to popularity. This one does it like really well without trying too hard, which I like.
Yeah. It's got a high production value too. Like I was kind of surprised by that. Like almost everything is fully voiced over. The sound design is really good. Like you could hear people coming sneaking up behind you. It does a really good job with that, and thank God it does, because there are enemies everywhere. I feel like this is more on par with Bloodborne than it is Souls. Like I'm not a veteran of the series, but I played a lot of Bloodborne, and I feel like there's more hazards like Bloodborne. There's enemies at every corner. There's a pack of dudes. Wolves.
It definitely does throw a lot more at you than the Dark Souls would.
Yeah. Dark Souls, I felt like it was like, oh, here's the room with the guy in it. Or like the two dudes standing
there's three
guard,
or four
you know?
Dudes here, but they're like evenly scattered around. So you know where they are at all times.
Yeah. There's the skeleton. He's going to be over there. The other skeleton's going to be over there. I could fight both of them without getting the other one. These guys are way more aggro.
It's not, like, but here's like five half wolf men as a sniper on these two roofs over here, and then you have like this weird beast coming at you from the bottom left corner.
They do make it a little bit difficult, like with the archers. Like they do place archers where they are trying to pick you off.
Right.
But you could hear the arrows coming a mile away. You could just turn to stone, deflect them. It's fine.
Right.
But once you start getting the parry, the combat becomes super fun, and I think I leveled up the parry and then the auto kill, essentially, like you do like the big stab right after it, which is great. Oh no, it's the parry stab and then you get health back.
Yes,
that's the one I went for immediately.
Very much like Bloodborne, like the whole getting health back system.
Totally awesome. I'm really really digging it. If you guys haven't played Mortal Shell yet, again, we were talking about Mortal Shell, definitely check it out.
Future guest on the show.
Yes, indeed. Rogue Company is officially kind of out at this point. And they have developed a roadmap, which is pretty exciting. Now, I know you're not into these types of games, but although I feel like this one might be something you could enjoy because it's faster paced. It's you're always shooting dudes, and then like the rounds are over, and you kind of cycle through and stuff. I think you'd have fun.
Okay.
So they kind of went with their phases, which is interesting. So they're adding a lot of customization, a lot of character and player customization. So like your badges will look a certain way. You can level them up. You can customize them. That's coming in phase one. Also, surrender or deserter penalties. So like I've been finding a lot of the times if you're annihilating a team, one of their members will just drop, and then you'll just mow them down. It'll be 4v3, and it's impossible. They're also adding a new map in phase one. Phase two, they have a new rogue coming, a new character. The ability to make custom matches, which is it makes this feel like GoldenEye. That's what I'm really really excited about.
Okay.
1v1v1v1.
Now you got me.
It's gonna be like a GoldenEye type shit. Like I'm telling you, I mean it's third person, but it has the ability to be something really fun.
Okay.
Then there's gonna be cosmetics and stuff. They're calling it Rogue Mastery. I guess that's kind of like a character specific sort of battle pass. Ranked battles, and then phase three they're going to do equipment mastery, so it's going to be the same thing like the rogues, and then they're going to bring a battle pass in and then some minor gameplay improvements outside of what they've already done. So I'm excited about that. I've been playing it a lot. I've been playing at least two nights a week. It's a blast to play. But this other game I actually played today, this is the last on my list. I played this because I was watching Miss Envy, who is a really nice streamer, really kind human. Has been in my streams lately, twitch.tv/MissEnvy. She was playing this game called Island Saver, and it's an elementary game. It's nothing. It's not going to break your brain. It's very simple, but essentially you are collecting garbage and cleaning oil spills and cleaning like dirty stuff on this island and helping animals.
A bunch of Xbox Ones laying around. Is that what you're doing?
You're just sucking up those Xbox One S's. And those empty Halo promises on the floor. More on that later. But no, it looks really cute. And one of the points she was making is that this could be a really good game to introduce Jack to video games because it's just the triggers. All you're using is the it's first person, but all you're using is the sticks and triggers.
I did some research on this,
and it's really cute. I mean, it's going to be a little difficult. I'm going to have to help him, but it's really, really cute. And so I booted it up right after the stream, her stream, and I played it for like maybe 20 minutes. And it's really cute. It's really good, and it's free to play.
Right.
They do sell some other islands as DLC, like a $5 yeah, I did DLC
see
that. Island.
I did see like a dinosaur one but I saw.
Yeah. But it's very cute, and if you're looking for something that's gonna be that could be like kind of mindless and just kind of a cute thing to do, it reminds me of like N64 era stuff.
It sounds like while you wait for Bugsnax, you can check this game out.
Ooh, and it came out in. It came out in May, I want to say. So, and I would really like to get them on the show because they are.
I reached out, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that'd be really cute. And of course, it's time for a minute of Apex Legends.
Oh shit! Here we go,
Andy. It's time for a minute of Apex Legends. I'm gonna wait till the minute marker.
I need to like go.
Apex Legends, dope. This season, Andy, season 6 is really, really, really fucking good. Mm-hmm. Really good. The new character is fantastic. I'm not particularly great with her. She's not really my playstyle, but I'm really digging her. The new weapon meta is great. The new weapon that they added, the Volt SMG, is an energy SMG. The game is playing more my style now. You need to be a team. You need to work as a team. You need to move station to station. You can't just go and thirst everybody because people can hunker down and really defend a point now because the new character has barriers and a turret gun.
So did you say thirst everybody? Is that an expression?
Thirst everybody. That means like when you down people.
I don't know.
You go for the kill. Yeah, you go for the kill. It's a common thing in battle royales. Like if you down somebody, you go there because you're thirsty for kills. So you go and get them, and make sure they die.
I see.
But I've been really digging it. We got a few dubs this season, and that is a minute of Apex. And of course, Andy, I do want to mention through Apex Legends, I have given away my 100th game on my stream.
Look at you. That's 100 wins, baby.
Not really, because I do marbles. I give away a lot of games in marbles.
Okay.
I've probably given about 30 games out in marbles, so it's at least 70 wins in some sort of battle royale.
Listen.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong numbers.
Yeah.
Pretty strong numbers. I'm not going to deny you that. It's pretty good.
Right.
Pretty goddamn good.
I have also been playing Fall Guys. Have you been playing Fall Guys?
I have. So
I got so many dubs, dude.
So I tried playing on the PC for a little bit. Just to get maybe
cheaters everywhere, bro.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. I'm like, this was a bad idea. I'm gonna buy the PS4 for a little bit.
I had 4 crowns that I could have won, and I was on a roll. Like I was playing really well. 4 crowns taken away. 2 in Fall Mountain, where the guy he was cheated the game before, so I knew he was gonna cheat. I was like, I'm not even gonna leave the starting area. I didn't leave. The guy went pew. Right up, grabbed it was done. That happened twice. Then there was a flyer, somebody just flying above Hexagon,
you know,
just flying
fucking
in the
game
air,
just
and
came
you
out
and you're like, where are you? I'm clearing out all of the bottom row of purple. There's nobody else. I'm 5 of 6 and this guy's flying around. There was that, and then there was the tail grab where this MF had the speed hack on and the flying hack.
Don't you know?
He grabbed the tail
the
and then
tail,
flew in the air above everybody.
The tail makes you fly, right? That's from this game.
The Tanuki suit.
The tail makes you fly.
Yeah, the Tanuki suit. But good news for Fall Guys. They have a patch. I think it went live today. They are changing a few things. Team games are now only going to be if they can make even teams. They're no longer going to be odd.
And no back to back team games. Also, they announced
no back to back team games. Yes, they're fixing the chances of certain games. I forget which ones. They already did the one for the tail grab as the finale. They already nerfed that. But there are a couple of others. And listeners, you know that we've had Joe Walsh, the director of Fall Guys, on the show. We are trying to get him back. We want to do a post-mortem, post-launch, you know, conversation about how it was that first week or that first night of launch, the PS Plus deal, which we didn't know about when we recorded. He did say some off-air something was going to happen. We weren't sure exactly
right.
That.
He was
but
teasing it a little bit in that conversation.
He teased it. He said he was working with PlayStation. So, the you know, we want to get him back on the show. So please send out vibes. If you go on Twitter, say you loved when he came on the show. We were the first show to interview him as a podcast. Mm-hmm. And we were the first one that he actually said he liked. And right after us, like a month later, he went on, or maybe
he was everywhere.
He went on IGN. I was so, like, you motherfucker. If we could get him back, that would be huge for us, guys. It would be absolutely huge for us. All right, Andy, hit us up with the indie news update.
Oh boy. So there's a Kickstarter game I've been following for a bit. It's called Goner. It's a dinosaur survival adventure game. It's like a first person Dino Crisis, essentially.
Interesting.
And they got fully funded like in 5 days. Fully funded. Awesome.
People love dinosaurs, man.
Dude, people miss dinosaurs.
People love survival, games.
People love dinos and they love shooting them.
So is it like Dino Crisis or is it more like Turok but survive, like a seven days to die?
The atmosphere is much more leaned into Dino Crisis with just the FPS perspective.
Interesting.
Right.
Is it like a survival, like a multiplayer survival?
No, it's single player.
Oh, okay. So it's like a survival horror dinosaur game. Okay. Cool.
So it's a first person Dino Crisis.
Yeah, and I'm down for that.
Can you please just do it already? Just do it. Like, I get it. Resident Evil, it's fine. It makes you money. You got RE4.
Let's get those remakes. Forget Resident Evil. We don't need RE4. Give us Dino Crisis.
Dude, but they're going to give us RE4. You know it.
I know what's happening.
Like, it's right there.
I know.
Because it's this.
Money.
All right. So, we have a breaking news.
Yes. This just in, breaking news. This is coming from a Chinese website. That has listed all of the prices for everything PlayStation 5 related. These do not look like placeholders because they're way too specific. And there's one that's actually really intriguing here. But this is coming from news.mydrivers.com. It's all in Chinese except for the graph that shows you the prices. So if you want to look at it, if you want to translate it, I mean, you can do whatever you want. You could go there. If you're in our chat right now, I'll put that link up. But essentially, this is what we're looking at. The PS5 Blu-ray console, that's with the disc, is going to be $499.99. It is releasing November 20th, the day after my birthday. That is a global launch. A Japan launch of November 14th.
See, that's where this thing loses me a little bit.
It's interesting.
Right.
It's very interesting. Unheard of.
It isn't, but I'm trying to understand the reason behind this. Why Japan first?
Don't know. But the digital edition is $399, which I completely forgot was a thing.
Really?
Completely forgot there was. And I thought about, so I was thinking, oh, I'm totally going to get the $399 one. And then I can get like the new camera or like a headset. I really need a headset, but I was like, I could get something else. And then I remembered, wait, I like bargain bins.
You
and
do.
I'm borrowing from you.
Yes, you do.
So and that ain't happening.
You got a couple of my games held hostage too while we're at it.
I do. Well, that was COVID's fault. That's not my fault. The DualSense controller is $59.99. The DualSense charging station is $29.99. The PS5 HD camera is $59.99. The Pulse 3D headset is $159. That's an interesting price. That's where it's getting like too specific. Like I feel like you could have easily said $99.99, $150, but they went $159. The PS5 remote control, $29.99. The PS5 vertical stand, which of course is just going to be a stand so that if you accidentally bump the thing, it doesn't fall over. But it can obviously stand on its side if you just look at the design of it, is $24.99. Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales, $39.99.
Believe it.
If they sell that game at $40...
I believe
there's not one person that's going to have a PlayStation 5.
If they bundle
this
with the PS5 at launch...
That would be interesting, yeah.
So here's something.
You bundle it with the digital edition.
Yes. Here's an observation, Steven.
Go ahead.
We've seen the DualSense controller. We've seen a slight breakdown via Jeff Keighley not too long ago, showing off the haptics and, you know, all the other fun stuff.
Oh, we'll talk more about that a little later.
Right. This thing costs $10 less than a Joy-Con Pro, which does none of the above.
Here's the thing about the Joy-Con.
Tell me.
Nintendo makes a huge deal out of being the pioneers of new tech.
Sure.
And they always make a faulty product.
Right.
Always.
Right.
They always overprice for their stuff. They
sure.
always, always underdeliver on the actual build of their product. Always.
Because my main always. Thing was, if a Joy-Con Pro is costing me $70, what would this cost you, the DualSense, by itself? Like 80?
Now... I feel like the reason why they charge us $70 is because you only really need one. Like, because their whole thing is like turning things sideways and using the little controller. They
right. It as two controllers. Right. It came with two, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, this is interesting because this would put right in line with what we thought it was going to be. And if the digital edition is $100 cheaper, I feel like that would be right in line with the Series S room that we were talking about, that we were thinking it would be that. Mm-hmm. And this makes all the sense in the world for the Series X to be $599. Of course, if you're touting it as the most powerful console on planet Earth.
It really makes me wonder how much hard drive space the digital edition is going to come with.
I think they said 2 terabytes, didn't
they? Terabytes. I don't think they announced the specs for the digital edition, though. Like,
No,
I think it's all just at this point very up in the air.
I heard somewhere, and I don't remember where, I don't have the article, but I heard that the operating system is almost 200 gigs.
Okay.
So that's a fifth of the hard drive space.
I wonder if they're going to add some more in there, because the question is, like, you sacrifice the Blu-ray drive to knock down the price, but if you add a more sizable solid state drive, is that going to jack up the price too, or you leave it the same as the disc version?
They're going to leave it the same.
Right.
I think they'll leave it the same only because you could expand it on your own. You could use.
Right.
They said you could use almost any solid state drive at this point.
They've done their tests, which is nice.
They just need to future test them, like new ones that are going to come out in the years to come, they have to say, yes, this was tested, this is approved, go ahead, use it.
Yeah.
I think honestly, like, for indie games, I would be fine with a hard drive, a USB hard drive. Just throw all the indie games on there, the stuff that's not in 3D. I would throw all those on there. I'm the kind of guy that deletes games anyway, like after I beat them or if I'm not gonna play them, because you could always get them back.
Right.
So I always play with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if a game is gonna be 400 gigs, which is very possible, very possible, that's a problem. I'm gonna end up spending $200 on another hard drive anyway.
Again, like this all, like I glance at this and it looks very real to me. It's just the dates. That's the one sticking point. I'm trying to understand why it would launch in Japan first when Japan, I believe they lagged in the PS4 with their release date. It wasn't the same date.
Maybe that's why.
So we've made up for it now. You got it late, so we give it to you early this time around.
Before we get to the next story, let's just piggyback off this and talk about the DualSense controller triggers.
Yeah, sure.
Because this was cool. Deathloop, the developers at Deathloop have spoken about PS5's controller and how they're using it. They're using the adaptive triggers and the haptic feedback in a very special way. Let me get to the quote. Deathloop being a first-person shooter, we do a lot of things to make weapons feel differently from one another. One I like is blocking the triggers when your weapon jams to give the player an immediate feedback before the animation plays out, which prompts the player in a physical way that they have to unjam their gun. That's pretty cool.
I love
this. This is going to break a lot of controllers.
Can't wait.
People are going to be jamming that shit in as hard as they can.
I love it.
But yeah, if you're like shooting the triggers and they just lock on you because you're weapon jammed and you're like, oh shit, and you're like, and that could be pretty cool. That could be a pretty cool thing. I'm not one for gimmicks. I want the less gimmicks, the better. I feel like of all the gimmicks that all of these companies have had, I mean, HD Rumble did nothing because only like four games use it. Nintendo's games actually use it. Everybody else kind of ignores it. Microphones in controllers. Not doesn't really do anything. Sometimes it could add immersion. Most of the time.
Well, I think that's the key word, because when you combine adaptive triggers, haptic feedback, 3D audio, it's less gimmicky and more immersion. Like swiping up on your touchpad,
dumb.
Go through a picture or a book or a leaflet.
Dumb.
It's like, oh great, you found some use for this fucking thing. But if you're jamming up my fire, like my trigger button for a gun, that's immersion. That's making you feel like you're actually
in
the game. Yeah. Like, oh shit, like, I gotta waggle it so I can to reload. You gotta reload it.
I gotta shake my flashlight. Hold on.
Waggle my shake weight.
You could say that's immersion, but I say it's poppycock. But yeah, I'm excited to see what else they can do.
Like,
it seems like more of a practical thing because those are triggers. It makes you feel whatever. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. It could just fall by the wayside. People could say, "Nah, I'm not programming for that." Mm-hmm. All right. So take us into our next story here.
Oh, we have a rumor mill that apparently Halo Infinite may dip into 2022 for release date, and it's going to also drop current gen support and be a full blown next gen title. Now,
Are they saying? I thought they were saying only this, the 1S they were dropping. Is that not true?
Well, if you drop the 1S, so what? Just in the Xbox One X then?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's pull up this. Tell me a story, Andy.
Let's pull this back. Toad's Wild Ride here.
Let's pull this up. In the old. Yeah. Da, 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 da. It's taking a while to load because it's like 20 pages. All right, here we go. This is from our favorite place on Earth, Reset Era, where people's souls go to die sometimes. From Spunger, who I think is a prominent Xbox One, Xbox or Microsoft leaker, it seems. I'm not too sure who he is. I was considering to post it or not, but after a few consultations with a few different sources, I'll put it. Microsoft/343 Industries is currently very busy with the idea of dropping Xbox One support for Halo Infinite. Hmm. Even to postpone it to early 2022 is on the table. It's pretty messy up there with decisions, but they are convinced that they need to make the best Halo game ever. Right. And this also went on to say it was struggling to reach 900p on the current gen hardware. So again, this is all rumors, speculation. It's just some guy on a forum. You know, these things happen all the time. Lately, I feel like as you approach a new console launch and with a game that's of this magnitude and iconic as Halo, there's going to be a tornado of bullshit all around it. It's just a given. My concern is, now, I believe in my heart of hearts that if this does happen, if it's true, I don't care. This, to me, it's always been a Game Pass game for me. I'll play it when it launches, and I want the best Halo game out there. I want to be the cutting-edge graphics. I want to really push, really sell me on what the Series X can do if you're going to drop current-gen hardware. My concern is we've had Microsoft go on about their ecosystem and not excluding when you take little jabs at Sony for saying we're moving on from our PS4, we believe in generations with the PS5, and you have so much PR talk against that marketing tactic, saying how you believe in cross-generation gameplay, making all of our games available for all of our players. And then you have this, one of your flagship games, likely getting dropped from the current console market. It's like, well, that's a lot of crow to eat. It's a lot.
Yeah.
So how do you walk that back?
That's kind of the main reason why I think this could be just nonsense.
Right.
But at the same time, I think Halo means too much to Microsoft to fuck it up at this point.
Right. Now,
they have had mediocre games before, and you know, people still buy them, but they want that 10 out of 10 on that box.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like they need, I don't want to say need, but like they do. They do need it. They do need to prove that they can make these games still.
Right. And see, the other thing is, like, I'm going to go back to Battletoads for a quick second. Battletoads was a game, excuse me, that I think would have some sort of, like a launch event kind of deal, celebration.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't think like, that.
Well, listen, it's...
I think we overhyped it because of the lack of titles.
I think when you bring back such an old franchise, it's been like, what, 26 years since we saw an actual Battletoads game? It's been a long time. I expected a little bit more pomp and circumstance as opposed to being just dropped on Game Pass and left on that service without, like, not a big deal. I don't want that for Halo. I want to be like a big event, sort of a thing.
You want the people lining up to buy it and all that.
Now, this could be bullshit, but we've heard rumblings from Digital Foundry, from a lot of developers, how it's quote-unquote a headache doing cross-gen development. It's really holding them back. It's not when you talk about it's not about scalability. It's not that easy as flipping a switch.
No, because it's not just
yeah.
It's not just graphics that you're messing with. Exactly. It's AI. It's right. AI capacity. It's
there's a vision that's also being held back by do all this, but we have to limit that now because we're tethered to old hardware. We're tethered to, you know, Jaguar cord, you know, systems from like 2013.
Right. Now, I think that Microsoft obviously needs to have some blame if this thing does go as poorly as it is going as poorly as some say, or does go as poorly as some say. I think that they do carry some blame. But at what point is 343 just going to it's just going to be, hey, you guys can't make this. You can't do this. Like how Nintendo took Metroid Prime 4 away. It was like, sorry, you can't make this game. You're not good. It's not good. You're not hitting goals. You're not hitting expectations. And
yeah.
I don't mean take this Halo game away, but like,
oh, no.
At what point does that studio just become like, no, you're going to be the port studio now. Like you guys can't do this.
But like, here's the thing though. I respect and commend Nintendo and even Square when they had 2 years of FF7 remake work done by CyberConnect 2, like, this is not what we envisioned for this game. It means way more touch than what you guys are doing with it. So we're going to can all of your work and go inside and start from scratch. And if it means a huge delay, like Metroid Prime 4, they tried going with another developer and they brought back in Retro. Because like they just... And if you admit that, I will respect you for that. Don't blame like, oh, it's we got COVID and we have this and that. Dude, 5 years. 5 years we're working on this game.
It could be a cultural thing, you know?
It could be.
Like just the American
what the
like,
quality standards hubris. Like. What's like what's the bar set for them? Like how high is it?
I think the bar is high. I don't think it's a quality thing. I think it's a willingness to make the sacrifices in order to hit that quality. And I think it has a lot to do with hubris. Like when you hear about the Japanese culture, it's all about honor. Mm-hmm. Right? Honor, respect, and whatever. Like they for them to
you don't it's brag, more of a humble
it's a mercy kill, you know, to take the game back and be like, okay, thank you for your work. You failed. Mm-hmm. We don't mind telling you that you failed, but we're not letting this continue.
Right.
Whereas I think you know, some American values might be more like, you know, you got this, get through it, we'll figure it out, you know, which is also admirable in some ways,
sure,
but it could also
that.
Be Yeah, it could
that.
Also be a very hubris-driven thing. But again,
when you have so much PR speak, that's going to bite you in the ass. Right. Like, you talk less. Like, stop trying to outmaneuver your competition by like you're like always there, like trying to get my attention with every little jab and poke you make. Like, yeah, then look what happens. Like, your flagship game is now pushed back until next year, and then we'll see if it even gets released next year.
Yeah, my whole thing here is like, okay, then if you can't make the next gen game, make a current gen game.
Then
listen, this, it was supposed to be out.
Listen, no one's gonna care. No one's gonna say don't make a great Halo game. No one's gonna say that. No one's gonna say no. Release a shitty version of this on the current system. That's what you promised us. I want it mediocre at best. No, like if you say, hey guys, or to fulfill our proper vision for this game, to give you the
let's talk about more rumors, Andy.
We should.
What do you think? Let's go down to these Switch Pro rumors, because this is another fucking thing we've been talking about for 3 years. It's been 3 years, Andy.
Oh my god. I feel like every time there's like a new console cycle or some big in game event, it's like, we got Switch Pro rumors. Woo!
You want me to handle this?
This is coming from a Taiwanese newspaper. That's that's quality. Quality sources right there. Ever heard
Oh god.
There are rumors and reports, it comes from Nintendo Life, by the way, surrounding a supposed Switch Pro, a Switch revision boasting more power and improved visual output. It's coming sometime in 2020.
Yep.
2020. Interesting. And the quote from a Dr. Sirkin Toto of Kantan Game said, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that Nintendo will launch a Switch Pro in 2020. My guess is at $399. More specifically,
you keep saying 2020. Is that right? Or is it 2021?
He said 2020. It says 2020 in this quote here.
Oh, you know what? It might be fiscal 2020.
Right, exactly. More specifically, I predict 4K support, bigger cartridge sizes, and of course, beefed up components. So here's the thing, people. This does not say that we're going to be getting... See, read the headline. New Switch model launching, according to Taiwanese newspaper. But the homeboy clearly says, there's no doubt in my mind that they will launch. What are you basing that off of? What's... Okay, cool. Well, how? You didn't say, I've spoken to Uncle Nintendo, and he said that there's going to be a Switch Pro that's launching in fiscal 2020.
No. Just make a Switch TV.
It sounds like someone who's looking at the market saying, well, we got PS5, Series X. So, of course, they're going to counter that with some sort of 4K model. It sounds like an educated guessing, not like a specific concrete. And, of course, we predict 4K support. We don't need it. Big prediction. Yeah, I don't want 4K for my Switch. I want my fucking Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, Metroid Prime 4, Pikmin 4, and Star Tropics 3. I rest my case.
Have you ever seen 4K 8-bit sprites?
I bet they're gorgeous and to die for.
So beautiful.
I feel like I've never lived until I've seen 4K sprites. And we almost got for Minecraft in that super duper graphics. God, that was like a quick flashback. I was at that E3 when they were like going through all of the Xbox One X specs, and the guy was legit, let's see what this beast can do, and then you show him Minecraft. I was like, this is terrible.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima.
1.9 million digital units. How in July. 1.9 million digital units.
Digital only.
Uh-huh. Well, in July.
In July.
It sold 2.4 million copies in 3 days. It launched
July 19th?
Something like that.
So in basically 10 days, it sold 2 million copies digitally.
This puts Ghost of Tsushima as the best-selling console game of July, above Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which was number 2, FIFA 20 at number 3, and NBA 2K20 at number 4. Paper Mario the Origami King debuted at number 8 in digital sales. Sold 555,000 units in July. Animal Crossing New Horizons they're just saying it was below that. Okay.
It's also the now the best-selling PS4 exclusive in Japan. So the first party game in Japan. It is Death Stranding and Spider-Man in that category.
Last of Us Part 2 was still on that list, too.
Yeah, dude, Japan is gobbling up this game. I mean, it's their own culture, right? Why wouldn't they love it?
They're probably buying it to like rip it apart.
They're loving it.
No.
See, what was it? The Yakuza guy
we spoke about it.
Was like, we should have made this game. Like, why didn't the Japanese make this game? How dare us?
It's a good game, but you know, relax. All right, it's not a 10 out of 10. All right,
Legends, bro.
Andy, boy, WB finally
the main
showed
event.
What they're working on.
The main event, kids.
WB Games, ladies and gentlemen, finally showed what they're working on. But before you get into that, I have a theory.
Oh, a theory.
The reason why they didn't show us any of this shit when they said they were going to,
yes,
is because of the rumors of the buyout of the sale.
Dude,
I think they were holding off and waiting to see if they were sold, because if, like, let's say a really good company was about to buy them that they want to be owned by, don't show your cards, because the value will be lower.
Right.
But if a shitty company that you don't want to buy you, and you want to say, well, now you have to pay us more because people are actually excited about our games, like cough, cough, EA, cough, cough, Activision. Mm-hmm. Now you show us the games. Get that stock up, baby. Get that stock up. And now it's going to cost you mucho, mucho dinero.
Well, here's also what I'm thinking I hope happened is Warner or AT&T was like, dude, the games market is massive right now, especially with what's going on in the world. Huge sales bumps everywhere. People are just locked in and playing games. We would be dumb to sell this shit at this point. Let's ride this through. Let's ride this wave out and capitalize on people just buying games by the buttload lately
for like a year.
And we're going to announce, you know, not one, but two Batman games. Oh, yeah.
Batman as well.
Well, he's not Gotham so well. He's not so well.
Gotham Knights, Andy.
Steven.
Gotham Knights, Andy.
I have a hot take right now.
Oh, my gosh.
This may be the hottest take you'll hear tonight.
Interesting.
Listener and the live chat. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I never thought I would say that I'd be more excited for a Warner Montreal Batman game than a Rocksteady Batman game.
Interesting. Okay.
I think this looks incredible. Mm-hmm. It looks, plays better.
It looks like it does.
In a pre-alpha state, mm-hmm. better than Marvel's Avengers. And I weep for that game because it's coming out in like 10 days. And I'm wondering, what will it look like? Because I was playing last night till 3 in the morning and I was glitching to high heavens. I was in the map. I was in the water. I was like respawn restricted mode for the entire match. People were underground. It was horrifying. Horrifying. But I saw this. Now, a quick thing here, Steven, is we have official math on this now. There's math you can take to the bank. It is now a fact, mathematically, mm-hmm. that three Robins plus one Batgirl equals Batman. That is now
a
verified mathematical formula. Correct. For all of you who are wondering what Batman equals, what the breakdown is in terms of people. And that's that's what that is. We got co-op on this. Drop-in, drop-out co-op. Amazing.
Awesome.
And Batman's dead, apparently.
R.I.P.?
Yeah. Now, here's the thing with Batman being dead. They mentioned him being dead because they want to remove the safety and comfort of Batman being around. Like, well, Gotham has the Dark Knight to watch over it. But now that he's dead, now there's uncertainty.
Well, the whole trailer started with, you know, they know Bruce Wayne is dead now.
Right.
They can't know that Batman is not here.
Right. And here's the exact quote from Patrick Redding over at from the DC fandom. We wanted to take away any certainty, any feeling of safety. So we could take a Gotham City where Bruce Wayne has been operating as for like 15 years with all that history, his whole network of allies, and then take him out of the picture. It really demands players to figure it out. How would I step up and how would I protect Gotham City? Now, he mentions, even though he starts off being there at the beginning of the game, that's not the case necessarily for the remaining of the game.
Interesting.
This I kind of don't like, because if you're going to kill off Batman and say he's dead from the get-go, have the balls to keep him dead.
They're just going to make a new Batman.
I don't want no fucking weird cameo of like Batman at the end. No, like, Man from the grave was like, it's a Lazarus pit thing is coming out of it. I don't want that.
It's going to be a new cowling.
Like, let's have the Bat family take center stage, fighting the Court of Owls, which makes me so super wet. We got Mr. Freeze doing his thing. Like, I'm going to freeze all of Gotham because, you know, my wife or some shit, probably. I'm just taking a wild guess.
Buzz Killington says Batman's dead, but Batman Beyond might not be.
Well, at this point, how old would he be? Because we're still...
Doesn't matter.
Right.
It's a new universe.
Tim Drake is young.
This doesn't even take place in the Arkham universe. Like, this is a separate story.
I feel like it doesn't need to. Like, I'm all for that. Cool. Do your own thing. That's why you should keep Batman fucking dead. Like, make him be dead. Focus on the Bat family. And Batgirl, like, recovered from her paralysis because she was Oracle for a while. Then she came back to being Batgirl, so she's... The whole not walking thing, just kind of, she walked it off basically, and now she's fine again. Yeah. How that went down.
So good.
But I am loving this. I loved all of this. I love the gameplay footage. I love all of it. The co-op portion of it. Now, I did catch, if I'm mistaken, It's a live service game. Is that correct? Did I catch that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I did not get that.
I heard that in several rumblings, but I may be wrong.
I heard more of that on the next game that they showed,
right,
which is Rocksteady's Suicide Squad game, which was, now it was a cinematic trailer. A lot of it seemed to be in engine. Like, it seemed like there was, like, I don't know. It could not have been. Who knows? With them, they do great work graphically. So it wouldn't shock me if this was, you know, on par right. with what they're trying to hit.
And also, but, worth mentioning that Gothamites is cross-gen coming out next year.
Yes, cross-gen. Yeah. But this next game is not cross-gen. This is next-gen only.
It definitely is not.
So Suicide Squad is next-gen only, coming out 2022, I believe they said. So this one takes, you are playing Shark King, Captain Boomerang, Harley Quinn, and
Deadshot.
I wanted to say Bullseye, but I'm looking at his arm with the bullseye on, or with the reticle. I'm like, no, Steven. with Deadshot, and the opening cinematic opens with them, like, you know, they're on a mission. They're trying to take out a high profile target. A helicopter's about to crash on them. What it seems like, a missile or something hits the helicopter. It explodes, and the pilot is being held by Superman. It's obviously Superman. They're all like, oh, look, it's Superman. And then he melts the dude, the pilot, and you see Superman is definitely not a good guy right now.
Nope.
And they insinuate that that's the target that they're trying to take out.
Mm-hmm.
Superman, or at least his team, or you know, whatever. We could assume that it's probably going to be the Justice League are all being taken.
Well, it is called
Brainiac stuff.
Justice League, is that's the subtitle for this game, right?
Right. I don't know. Did they put that?
I think it's called Suicide Squad: Kill the Justice League. Is the game?
Yeah. Yes, you're right. So it's essentially going to be. I mean, it looks like there's Brainiac is here, so it's probably going to be a situation where Brainiac is controlling everybody somehow, and using them to tear down Metropolis and the world, and you are a ragtag group of people who should have no business fighting any of these people. Each and every one of them seems like they would be completely useless in a fight against Wonder Woman and Superman.
I don't know what you'd hope Shark King could do against fucking Superman. I don't know. Or Harley Quinn.
Whereas the vibes I got from this.
Tell me.
I don't know if you got the same vibes, but for me, I got total Guardians of the Galaxy vibes.
So I think that's what they're trying to do with this. They're trying to, DC is trying to market this as, we can do Guardians. That seems sort of like slapstick, hijink, like ragtag group of misfits.
Personalities.
Right. Yeah. The trailer gave me legit vibes of Sunset Overdrive. With the whole jumping around. Now, here's the thing. I want to be excited for this. Like,
okay.
I know it's Rocksteady.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Why did we not see any gameplay for this? We haven't had a Rocksteady game since 2015.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be 7 years since their last game when this game comes out. And you market this as Suicide Squad, DC fandom, 20 minutes. And it's fucking Will Arnett talking for like half an hour. I'm like, Will Arnett, I love you. I loved you as Batman. I love you in Arrested Development. You're a great guy. God bless you. But shut up and show me what this game is. We got some stats. We got some breakdowns. It's 4-player. It sounds like it's like their Avengers answer.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
I get that. But why is there no gameplay? Like,
well, it's 2 years out.
Right, but what have you been doing for the last 5 years?
They don't want to show that hand yet. It's a slow burn.
Show what hand? There's no hand.
I think there is. I think that, you know, they want to let the game that's coming out sooner breathe a little bit.
Here's my opinion. I think.
And you don't want to fall into the trap that Avengers did, where they showed something and everybody went, ooh.
Yeah. I think what happened. Now, this is a legitimate theory. So go with me. I think there was an internal debate over at Rocksteady over the size of King Shark's head. And that debate was a 5-year debate. And they've landed somewhere on like the lower end. I think the lower end one. Because that's a fucking tiny ass head for King Shark. I don't know what's going on there.
The movie went large. The movie went with a big head.
Right.
They showed the movie trailer too, and that has like 47 people in it.
That was like the Hollywood Squares, which was like, look who we got this week on Hollywood Squares. It's like all the actors. It's
now,
like,
here's interesting. We have John Cena in the movie, but we have another wrestler, another WWE superstar in the video game.
Ooh. I think I know this. It's the voice of King Shark, correct?
Correct.
Oh, it's like Samosa.
Samoa Joe. Yes. Samoa Joe, which is interesting because if you look at King Shark, he has the Samoan tribal tattoo on his arm.
Yes.
We should have seen it coming.
We should have seen it. We should have John Cena it.
How's it, brother? But Samoa Joe is awesome. He's a cool dude. And when you listen to it, like he's not just doing his own voice. Like he's putting like a weird, I don't know. He's doing something different, which is cool. Because I didn't know it was him until they said later on that it was him. I was like, oh, shit. Okay. And then I listened back. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that is him. But that's pretty cool, man. And here's the thing. Rocksteady, I'm fully confident that Rocksteady can make a better Avengers game than Crystal Dynamics has made with their Avengers game. I am perfectly fine with this being a games of service. Because I like playing as characters I don't personally have a huge connection with.
Right,
I could see King Shark being the next Drax.
Dude, I think that's what they're going for. It's like,
yeah, absolutely.
Dave Bautista, like who gave that character, like he defined that Drax.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have Harley Quinn is your star. That's the one everybody's going to want to be.
Right.
I think they're going to be surprised by how awesome it is to play as Captain Boomerang because he looks like he's like more of the acrobatic, you know, throwing gadgets and bombs and like,
dude,
he did a lot of cool stuff. And then you have your shooter fans that are, or you're like your kind of Iron Man style play with Deadshot. Mm-hmm. And then you have your brawler in King Shark.
It's got a gun. Yeah. Or a minigun. As long as you get hyenas for Harley, that's all I care about. Give me some hyenas. At her side at all times. I love it. Now, here's the thing. This is it's in the Arkham world. So Joker is also at this point dead. He's gone out of existence. He'd be dead.
Well, that's as far as what we know.
Well,
you never know.
Yeah, come on. He died.
He's the brown.
He died.
Brown Prince of Gotham.
He's locked in Batman psyche at this point, as far as we know.
He's locked away.
Can I say one last thing, dude, before we move on from this topic?
Thank you.
I am very excited for the Batman movie.
Dude,
I had no idea.
Dude,
Robert Pattinson could play a Bruce Wayne. He looks the part. But when he was with those thugs after like beating that one guy up, like pummeling him.
Yeah.
And he goes, "I'm vengeance," without no like a vengeance, like an actual foreboding delivery that I could get. I was like, chills. Fucking chills. And the sound of duct tape will now terrify me until my dying days.
I still think this is going to be a swerve. I still think this is a Ra's al Ghul type swerve from Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're getting a Hush story.
Ooh.
I don't think it's a Riddler story. Just like
I like that pivot.
The Hush comic was, you know, about, you know, Hush, and then the Riddler was pulling the strings.
It's
and
also
the movie they did. Hush was the Riddler,
right?
In the cartoon movie,
right? This
so
is
the amalgamation of those.
It's year two Batman, if I recall correctly. So he's been Batman for a little bit of a time.
He's been doing it for a little bit,
and we're exploring the origins of Catwoman. The origins of Catwoman, Penguin, which that was Colin Farrell as Penguin.
Yes, it was.
That was like them cheeks.
Yes, it was.
Like them chipmunk cheeks.
They did some prosthetics.
Yeah, they did.
I would, if I had to go through prosthetics like that, because they usually, typically it's like 4 hours in a chair, I would tell them, I'm not taking it off. Just let me go home and sleep in this thing.
Right.
Let's do four days in a row. Let's go. I can't shower. Dude. Great. Method acting.
Dude,
let's go.
I really love, I really love how I think Joker proved to DC and Warner that you should embrace this gritty, more grounded take to your comic book movies.
Sure, yeah.
Because
sure.
We have so much slapstick and humor in Marvel. Like, I don't need that twice in my life. I get it. I get a lot of it there. I got a talking raccoon. That's fine. Keep it over there. Be more serious, more darker, and people.
But it didn't work for them with Man of Steel.
Right. Well, that was like overkill. Like, that's you're trying too hard.
That was like, okay, your man and your dude in blue and red spandex underwears.
The Snyder cut has me intrigued of Justice League.
That's a Snyder uncut. It's right. 4 hours. There's nothing right. cut. He cut nothing out of that movie. There's nothing
Snyder
cut.
Snyder full release. It should be called the full monster. Yeah.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for
the
Hype Zone.
Hype Zone. This is all you, baby.
Hype Zone time.
This is all you.
Boy, Burger King causing some fucking problems on
Burger
Twitch.
Burger King is a fucking genius.
This is smart, but it's crazy. So
I love this 100%.
Some Twitch users have a text-to-speech feature when they get a bit donation. You could send bits, and then it'll read your message. It'll say, ha, 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 you are a dickhead, ha, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of streamers love this. People love it. It's hilarious. Burger King found as many of these as possible, spent $5
yep.
to put in text yep. for a Burger King ad.
Yep. Genius.
Intelligent. I wish I had... Oh, hold on. Kotaku did the original report, so let's see if they have the actual text here.
Dude. This makes me happy because it's you're circumventing a sponsored video or an advertisement saying, I'm going to fucking pay $5 to have a bot say, hey, check out this new combo value meal at Burger King for $5.
Right. So a couple of classes here. This is exceptionally low class.
Oh,
take advantage
class.
Of a system meant to support these streamers, utilizing it for big name companies that could easily afford to pay it properly. They're bragging about it.
You're just
predatory marketing.
They
cool.
At first,
I don't know. I take the $250 over hoping that people click your ad on my stream.
Right, right.
Considering the proper channels exist, it is unfortunate to see billion-dollar companies nickel and I don't think they're a billion-dollar company.
Love
nickel
it.
And diming their ad budget at the expense of content creators. Bottom line. This is absolutely unprofessional and unethical.
Not at all.
I don't see how anyone approved this idea.
Explaining the ethics violation. You're within the legal right to do this.
It's circumventing like the ad revenue share.
I'm sure people would say if I'm like Ninja, for example, and I'm getting like, I would get paid normally like a satchel with a dollar sign for an ad on my stream, and you have Burger King saying, we're going to just put $5 here and have your swarm of followers hear an ad for $5.
So they did this to Tyler T.P. Polchow. Mm-hmm. That's apparently somebody. Okay. After fans recognized him in the ad.
Well researched.
So wait a minute. They're recording this.
Uh-huh.
And they're tweeting the reactions of the streamers. So they're using the streamers without the permission, too.
Well,
that part might be a little unethical.
Well, listen. I think you're mentioning your product. I think that's all under fair use. You're transforming their work, who was once a streamer, is now an ad.
A little less than halfway into the video, one of the streamers, Ogilvy David, chose to ambush with its guerrilla marketing campaign, got to the heart of the issue. Listen, are you going to sponsor me or not? Ask the anonymized streamer after getting advertised at.
Oh, it gets better. I'd be like, nah, we're just going to do it this way. Fight me.
Jeez, man. I mean, yeah, okay. So sponsors pay a lot of money. I mean, even,
listen.
A lower end
listen.
Streamer could get $500
for right. Videos.
Listen,
you know what?
It sucks, but that's genius.
I would just be like, this is cute. I'll allow it. But like, if you think that I have a worthy platform to advertise on with $5, let's discuss a little. I like Burger King. I'll sponsor your shit. It's totally fine. Flame World goodness.
Yeah. Give me that original chicken sandwich and cheese, motherfucker.
I'm loving it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is just so genius.
We want to get into the chat and into the mailbags, but before we do, we have a brand new segment.
Yeah, I love this.
To enter into
this
the show
came
here.
From Steven's genius
segment brain
that he devises excellent ideas from.
If you join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/DS podcasts, you can join right now if you have a Facebook. I'm going to be posting a question of the week, and then I will read the responses in the chat. And we'll do that while we're asking the stream to ask us any questions or comments if they have. I saw a couple that I'm going to scroll up. Erengard, I saw you write something up, so I'm going to read that as well. But so the topic this week was your favorite game that you never owned. So your favorite game that you never owned. Mine that I chose was Legend of Dragoon, because I have the jewel case somewhere, but I don't have the actual discs. I don't know why.
Where?
I think
that's four discs.
I think I have, I might have three discs.
Oh my God.
But I know that I never physically bought this. It was something that I played at my cousin's house, mm-hmm. and I think we were just bringing it back and forth. And I think he was like, I'm at the end of the game, I'm going to take disc four. And then he left disc one through three with me.
To get you started, basically.
And I, no, because we were playing together.
Oh, okay.
He just wanted to finish the game because school started. So he just, I was like, okay, well, I'm not starting over. And I just,
right.
you know, but it, but I, it's not like mine, you know? So that was mine. Alex Saunders said, what did he say?
He said several things toward the end.
Yeah, at the end of it, right? All right, so we're going to go. Joe Gonzalez said Samba de Amigo.
Greasy.
Berkier, I think that's how you say it, Berker, said Grandia 1.
Ooh, amazing.
My mother-in-law said the Ouija board.
Love it.
Yep, never owned a Ouija board.
My mother.
She loved playing with it. That's my mother-in-law. Zach said, not Buzz, but a different Zach, said Fallout New Vegas.
Mm.
Thorne said Team Buddies.
Dude, if I thought I didn't, I love Thorne before, now I am in love with Thorne. Mm. Because no one talks about Team Buddies.
No one talks. So he played it at a kiosk in Funkoland. That was his experience with that game. Matt Murray, friend of the show, said Dinosaurs for Hire.
Great game.
I don't know that one. I can't say I know that game.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Priestley, former guest of the show, said WWF WrestleFest, which is a fantastic arcade game. An absolutely fantastic arcade game. And there's a new version of it with a lot of indie. It was an indie game with indie wrestlers and stuff that's out now. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. Fuck. I forget what it's called. I'm sure Buzz knows. He'll probably put it in the chat. Right. You said Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Expound, please.
Dude, because I didn't have a Genesis growing up. So a lot of those games I didn't own. But I played a lot at my cousin's house. Sonic 2, and it's one of my favorite Sonic games, and I never owned an actual physical copy of it ever in my
life. I have an honorary answer, actually, now that I think of it.
Oh, yes?
Unless you count like, in... So, okay. I loved Comic Zone, but it was my cousin's.
Mm.
So I didn't own it, but it came in a Sega Genesis collection that I did own later on. So I think that counts as me owning it. Okay.
Right.
So Alex finally comes in. Power Stone, no. Time Splitters 2, no. Power Stone. Yeah, Power Stone. Okay,
yeah.
So he's going with Power Stone.
Those are great games. Those Time Splitters too, but Power Stone, that is
I
legit.
Have Power Stone somewhere. For
we need Capcom. Dino Crisis and Power Stone. Get the fuck on it. Just make it happen.
But you stop being jerks. Make some cool things happen. John Monath says Mario Party 3 for Nintendo 64, and he gives a little story. This was a difficult question for me because later in life I acquired any favorites that I was missing. I remember having Mario Party 1 and tearing up, my hand playing some of the games. Mario Party 2 I picked up on the Wii shop, but number 3 I think I only rented from Blockbuster.
Dude, Blockbuster, have you seen the last ones like an Airbnb? You can rent out the whole Blockbuster, the last standing Blockbuster
Airbnb. Yes, yes. I did see that, yes.
Oh, I want to do it when the world isn't on fire anymore. I'm definitely
doing
that.
Isn't it in Alaska?
What?
Isn't it in Alaska?
I don't mind. Fuck, I go to Alaska.
Too much sun. Would not recommend. My sister-in-law actually just put a comment about an hour ago. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Oh my God, that's a great fucking game.
Nobody owned that because that was in school.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I don't own that shit either.
Oregon Trail, never owned that. Love that game. Love the shit out of that game.
And Steven, as we speak, we have a request to join the Facebook group. Ain't that amazing? Welcome, Lucas E. Petrie, to the group. Boom.
Welcome. Welcome. Buzz Killington says the Blockbuster's in Oregon. Mikey Kirsch wants to know if we talked about the Halo debacle. Rewind about a half an hour. Yes, we did. He was lurking for the show. Let's see. Vegas Girl on Fire loves Jeffrey Wright as Gordon. There was some, okay, here's Aaron Guard. Nintendo will never release a console at the same time as the Xbox and as Xbox and PlayStation. Hmm. The small crossover market that they have cannot hold up to the pressure of the other console releases, and Nintendo will surely give us a Switch Pro. But that's because eventually they will have to build a new console and continue to innovate eventually. I don't disagree. I think that's going to be their plan. That's why I don't think this... I think this is coming fiscal 2020. Mm-hmm. Probably same time, like, was it February, March, whatever the hell it was. That it was March, right? That
right. Switch came out? It was in March, exactly, yeah.
Like March 17th or something like that, March 13th. I don't know, something like that. That I could see happening. They come out, you know, exactly 3-4 years later, whatever it was.
I don't think we need a 4K Switch right now or ever. No, like, not at all. We don't need that from Nintendo. I understand the notion behind it, but we're not competing for power on Nintendo side. Like, people will still buy their software and their hardware in mass with lower resolution. So again, an improved Switch with better battery, resolution, fixed Joy-Cons, I'm all for that.
Better screen.
Right. I'm all for that.
Charging port. So Vegas Girl on Fire asks a question here. 3 Robins and 1 Batgirl? Do you want to handle that one?
I mean, that's the equation we have now. It equals 1 Batman. It's what we've proved.
Expound on that.
Because that's what the game tells me. It's in the absence of 1 Batman, you have to replace
it. I don't think Vegas Girl on Fire knows that all 3 of those male characters were Robin at one point.
Oh, yes.
I think that.
So Nightwing was the Dick Grayson, so he was Robin.
Dick Grayson.
Jason Todd was the original Robin, who became the Red Hood. And the current Robin is Tim Drake.
There you go.
There's your 3 Robins equaling and then 1 Batgirl.
And then Batgirl have replaced the 1 Batman.
Yes.
Let's scroll back up. No Buzz, I wasn't going to leave out the Fall Guys thing, so relax yourself. CT Dub throwing some bats in the chat. Love that. Maybe Neil was here hanging out. Any other things here? Now, if I knew how to reply to that topic, this is Aaron Guard, I would say Draken, Order of the Flame.
Ooh.
Or Draken, Order of the Flame.
Yes. And I'm seeing also Vegas Girl on Fire, Amazing Sparrow the Dragon. Because she never has the original PlayStation. I feel sad. That saddens me, Vegas Girl on Fire, because that's a lot of quality games you missed out
quality.
On.
Quality.
That was like the golden age of games. There was so much good shit on the PS1. Like so much experimental shit.
Those are good times.
Yeah, dude. Like Team Buddies, to name a few.
Team Buddies. Yeah. Croc. Twisted Metal.
Ooh, dude, Twisted Metal, Medieval, Parappa the Rapper.
Hell yeah.
Legend of Ligeia. Oh my god, this is a list. All right,
folks. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at Batchild 27. I have something that it directly in my eye. I don't know if it's on camera, but it flew right in my eye. A little aphid. A little friggin' little gnat or something. Fruit fly. Andy is at Pants Guy. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/group/DS Podcast. If you want to watch us do the show live, go to twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. That's DUEL, like fighting, just like our company, our whole logo, our everything. Dual Screens Streams. Give us a follow over there. And if you want to give us a sub on YouTube, we would greatly appreciate that. YouTube.com/DualScreensTV. Thank you to Zazu Pitts of Sourdough Productions for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlay and logo. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art. Again, if you want to send us emails, it's feedback@ndspodcast.com. And you can join our Patreon for as little as $1. Get a bonus episode every month, which you vote the topic. And you get into our VIP Discord, which is just for you, by going to patreon.com/ndspodcast.
ndspodcast.
It's very simple, folks. It's very simple. We do a lot of bonus content. So check out all of our tiers. You can get extra stuff for $3, $5, $10, and so on and so forth. If you want to buy any of our merch, it's dualscreens.com/store. Andy.
Steven.
Is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yes. Just now, in real time, Cody and Lisa have joined the Facebook group. Thank you guys so much. You're amazing.
There it is.
And also, don't you love when you spend 3 hours of your Saturday giving the dog a bath, which he hates, and now he has his whole head in my dirty sneaker.
You did it.
It just wedged in there, like I, buddy. Oh God.
You did it. We did it.
This was a great episode. I love all of you in the chat. all of you listeners.
Thank you for being here. And as always, please be excellent to each other.